But I was born and raised in a Baptist church. At the age of 17, my parents left. They had a little problem with the church, and they left, and I willfully went with them. I did not want anything more to do with God. I wanted to, the pleasures of the world, and I thought life would be fulfilling with a nice hot car, you know, nice-looking girl and money, and I went full bore after that. I thought that would satisfy me. And through time and driving fast and all those crazy things a kid does, I found out it does not satisfy. And so then I thought education has got to be the answer. Everybody thought if you are educated, life is going to come together and it's going to be so much better and it's just going to just be it. Well, I went off to school and took calculus, op amps, physics, and my brain just did the... So, through that, the Lord just kind of spoke to me in a way, and I was out in my pickup truck driving up in the mountains, and I got out there, and I'm thirsty, I'm hungry for something real, and I get out of my rig, and I said, Lord, where are you at? There is more to life than this. I find myself running, I mean, silly, like a chicken with my head cut off, running from post to post, tears coming down my eyes. God, where are you at? And I thought that day, I'm going to find God. Well, after learning the scripture, I found out that I wasn't seeking him, but he was seeking me that day. So we joined up with a charismatic church. We didn't know any better. She had family that went there, so we just went. And just something wasn't right. I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't know exactly, but just something wasn't right. So we were still going to that. I started going to a Bible study to a guy that I really looked up to. He was one of my instructors. And he was teaching some things, but I didn't know the Word of God. I didn't understand, but something still wasn't right, what he was teaching. So it was Saturday night. It was Friday night. I'm driving home. It's late from the prayer meeting. And I'm going, Lord, I need a church. I need a church. So went on home. Next morning, someone knocks on my door. I'm all, what is this? You know, wanting to know what's going on. Because I'm looking for the answer to this prayer. And my wife's talking to him. They hand a track over to me. I look, I go, Baptist. No, not Baptist. I don't want to go to a Baptist church. But the Lord had set it up so well that I could not deny it. So we went to the Baptist church, and they sang the old hymns, and that preacher, he got up, and he preached hard. He preached, you're a sinner, you need to repent, you need to call on Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you do, how good you are, how many times you've been baptized, anything, if you are not fully trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood and his being raised from the dead, you will burn in hell for all eternity. Well, I thought I was saved. So I get in this church, and once again, I'm trying to satisfy this thing in my life that I cannot seem to satisfy. So I get in there, and I mean, I'm not missing a service. I'm tithing, giving to missions. I mean, we are just the perfect Christians. I mean, we are just doing it all. And I'm still so thirsty. And I'm saying, Lord, there's more to this. And so we bought a house that was away from the church. It was about 60 miles. And I had to drive up and over a mountain to get to work. Couldn't get no radio station, no outside influence. All I had was a bunch of tapes the pastor gave me. And I started putting in those tapes, and pastor's still preaching at me. And finally I'm saying, you know, Lord, what is wrong? And he finally, just something, says, you are trying to do this on your own. You are being a good person. You're not going to come to me that way. You're not going to come into heaven on your good works. You're going to come through my son's shed blood and him alone. And right then I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Please save me. And after that, things took off. I was not thirsty for that. God fulfilled that in my life. And so right away he put a burden of missions on my heart. And so we just kind of got fanatical about it. I mean, like I was telling Pastor, I said, I gave up the soda pop, the candy bars, put us on a budget that was so tight, and used that to put into missions, so we could give missions money. And then I was working at a mill, and I was talking to Mexicans, and I thought maybe the Lord was calling me to Mexico, because I really enjoyed them. I got along with them well, you know, witnessed to them. And one of the men was trying to teach me a little Spanish, and he used the word Buenos Aires. I didn't know what Buenos Aires was. He says, it's good air. He says, but there's no good air down there. And I'm going, down where? He says, Argentina. And at that time, that place stuck in my head. And every time I go by a map, I'd find Argentina. Every time I hear anything about Argentina, I wanted to know about it. And then I knew the Lord was calling me to Argentina, and I just didn't know where. Where in Argentina? And we were, you know, checking things out and talking to pastor. And we have this camp meeting we go to every year. I'm not against it, but we don't go to Disneyland, SeaWorld, all these other things. We go to a camp meeting every year. My kids love it. They beg me every year to go to this camp meeting. The Lord has done a work in my life to that. He called me to preach through there. He has showed me things. He's rejuvenated us, got us ready to go for the next year. And in that, we had 1 year where we are trying to get there, and there was something wrong with the distributor on my vehicle. Well, I know cars pretty well, and I could not find out what this problem was. I thought it might be the fuel pump or something. And so we're driving down, and about every 15, 20 miles, this thing would stop, and we'd have to let it cool down. And then we'd go, and it'd stop. And I figured out, I got out, and I had it so I could hotwire it from the front because it wouldn't even start, and so I jury-rigged some of this stuff, and it would turn over, and then I'd turn my key on, whoom. Finally, it was about 4 or 5 more hours than what it's supposed to be. We get there. We set up camp, and in Montana in June, it snows. We are tent camping. It is freezing. And then I thought, what worse can it get? My kids get sick. I mean, they are sicker than a dog. They are outside, 1 o'clock in the morning, throwing up in the fire pit. I mean, it is bad. And right across the road was a man that has a problem sleeping, and he saw all this going on. And he's watching this, so he gets with the people of the camp and rents us a cabin with heat. So my kids go in, and you get a good night's sleep. And in that, I got to meet Rodney Fry. Now, Rodney Fry is a missionary to the Mapuche people of the Andes Mountains. And in that, he showed me his burden for those people, showed me all the work that he was doing and his preparing for them. And I thought, hey, this is the answer to prayer. I mean, I have been seeking, where do you want me in Argentina? So I start praying more. My pastor invites him to have a meeting at our place. And so he comes down, and we get him to stay at our house. We always like to have missionaries at our house. It's a lot of fun to have them in. And he's there for the weekend. And the Lord, I guess, decided that we needed more time together. So he had a newer diesel Dodge, and the headlight switch burned out, and there was none in town. So he had to order it. In that, he got to spend 3 more days with us, and I got to be with him and learn more about the Mapuche people. We got to learn more about each other. And then we got to go on a survey trip down there and got to enjoy go down the land, because they always recommend that you go down and make sure that the Lord has really called you to that place. Because a lot of missionaries, they'll go down after they got their support and go, what am I doing here? The Lord don't. And then they run home. So we went down and got to spend a month down there, going into Chile, visiting Mapuche homes, different missionaries we'll be working with, which I'll be talking to on my slides. And that's my testimony, and I'll let my wife give hers. All right. Well, I just want to thank you all so much for having us in. It's a blessing. You've all taken such good care of us. You know, you fed us and put up with us, and it's just been a blessing. We're just thankful that you'd have us in to share our burden for the Mapuche people and what God's put upon our heart. Today we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 12. So 1 Corinthians, if you'd open with me. If everybody would stand with me while we read God's Word. I know it's tight quarters, but you probably wouldn't mind getting up again. So 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 20. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye that know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stevanus and Fortunus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The church of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you one another with an holy kiss. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I just thank you so much for all that you've done, Lord, and your Son, and what he gave up that we might have eternal life and that we might come into your presence, Lord. I ask that you'd fill me right now, that I might be able to speak your words and that it would touch the hearts of these people to bring them closer to you. I thank you for all you've done, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The title of the message is Watch Ye, or Are You Awake? Are you awake? If we look at verse 13, it just says, watch ye. And I don't believe he's talking about a casual walk. I don't think he's talking about bird watching, going down here in the little by the creek and sitting there and tossing some stones and just kind of checking out everything that's going on around you. I think what Paul here underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is saying, watch ye. This is a military watch. This is serious. Be on top of it. Always be alert. Don't let down your guard. Be careful. If you don't watch, this can leave you dead. If you are not careful, it will cost you a great amount. Now, I have a friend of mine from the church. He is a prison guard, and he's part of the SWAT team. And, he just goes crazy for the SWAT team. He has his rifle all clean, and he has all the paraphernalia that goes with you and the pistol. And, he is just ready. He is just always excited about everything. It was his watch that night, and it was, nice and mellow and everything. And that evening was one of the evenings that our pastor was preaching. Now, I know contrary to what you hear, but when the pastor or the preacher is preaching, not everybody is listening. And in this group of men, which was over 100 of prisoners, not everybody there was listening to the preaching of God's Word. There was a man there, and he was thinking, I'm going to get out of here tonight. And so when they dismissed the men, they went out, and he snuck up the back, had some rags and towels, and threw it out the window, and escaped out the window. So the sirens go off, everything locks down, and my friend there on the SWAT team, he says, we get to go out. We get to go find this guy and secure the perimeter. He's ready. So they go running out front, and out front of this prison, there's railroad tracks. Well, there was a bunch of train cars that day. He says, we start out, we were so careful. We knew one mistake, and this guy could take us out. He said, I'm just checking everyone. He says, I am looking so carefully. I am checking behind every car underneath. He says, I got the 30. I got the 40. He says, by the time I got to the 60th car, he says, I was wore out. He says, I could care less. The danger, was it any less at the first five or six cars than the 60th car? Not at all. And don't we do that so easily in our Christian walk? First year, we're excited about the things of God. We're ready to go. We're telling people. We're reading the Word of God. We are just in tune. And then time goes by. And then time goes on. And pretty soon we get up there and, age in our Christian walk. Oh, well, it's the same old, things haven't changed. But I say, isn't it just as important on the last part of your Christian walk, in the first part, to stay alert and watch? And we need to watch. We need to watch for our own Christian lives. We need to watch for our families, our children. People today, they're not watching for their children. They let them go out and do whatever and think everything's just going to be just fine. Fathers, you need to watch. You need to have your eyes open. You need to have this book open so you know what you're looking for. You need to watch. And mothers need to watch and be in prayer and be vigilant. They can look also there, and so important to the husband and the family, and directing and helping in that way, we need to watch. And we watch in prayer. We watch when the things we say. We need to be so careful. So careful and pay attention. And then the next one, stand fast. It says stand fast in the faith. Stand fast. And I couldn't think of but those Greek wrestlers, how they'd come in and they would embrace and they would just, they'd lock up and they would stand there and they would learn the traditions. They would just embrace and be prepared and they were standing fast and, you know, watching what they were doing. And then if we look at 2 Thessalonians 2:15, it says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So we need to stand fast, hold the traditions of the faith. And when those men, you take of those wrestlers, of those Greek wrestlers, they were trained. They didn't walk up there and come up against that other guy and just stand there. No, they were trained. Their teachers trained them, showed them how they needed to stand, what they needed to do, the next move that they needed to perform. And that's that way with us. Why do you think that God gave us a pastor? He gets up here and he teaches us how we can witness for the Lord, how we can live our daily life, how we can deal with those problems that come our way. We have this Word of God that we just read and absorb and take in and look to that we might be able to perform and live for the Lord the way He would have us to live. We have pastors to teach us. We have the Word of God to show us that we might hold fast to the traditions which we have been taught, whether by word or epistle. We need to stand fast. It's so important. And as wrestlers, we need to hold our ground. We need to hold our opponent because we know. And we watch, you know, wrestling and we've heard about it and different things like that. And we see how they hold each other and they're prepared so they're not throwing fast or anything. But do you realize they also hold their mind? You have to be able to hold your mind if you are to be in any warfare or competition. And we know that in, Romans, well, I'll get to it here. Oh, 2 Timothy 1:7, it talks about Christ not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. He put that in there because our minds are so easy to wander and to go off, and we need to hold fast to those things that we have been taught. And then we'll go on. It says, quit you like men. Quit you like men. Now, this does not mean it's quitting time, boys. Doesn't mean, you know, we've worked a good old day at the shop and or wherever we go to work. We can come home, kick back, grab our, you know, coffee, soda, water, whatever, and it's just relaxing time. No, I think what he was talking about there is it's time to get up. It's time to get going. Your time is short. Let's go forward. Let's not sit down. Let's not get slack. Let's go forward and serve the Lord. Plus, I think he's referring to 1 Timothy 1:6 and 7 again. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, like I just said, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's so important. So important. And I think David understood this. If we look back in 1 Samuel 30, if you'll go back to that with me. 1 Samuel 30. Okay, where is that here? 1 Samuel 30. And it's talking about David and Ziklag. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were within. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam, I can never say that word, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Here's David. He's went out doing different maneuvers. He was out with the Philistines. He comes back and everything is destroyed. Could you imagine, fathers, husbands, coming home and your house is burned down? You do not know where your kids are. You don't know where your wife's at. You're going, what am I going to do? I think I would get on my face and I would wail also, just like these men. And then to put on top of it, he had men with him that wanted to do him damage. They spoke of stoning him. So David, I mean, if I was him, I'd be on the ground and go, what am I going to do? But David quit himself like a man. He did not give up. He did not stay out. He got up. And what was the first thing he did? The first thing he did is he got a hold of the priest. Now, isn't that great? The day we live in, we don't have to get a hold of the priest anymore. We can boldly go into the throne of grace. We can go before the Lord and we can say, Lord, I got this problem. I don't understand. My house is burned. My kids are gone. I don't know what's going on. Lord, I need you to guide me and to direct me in a way I don't know what to do. And David here did that with everything down on him. Everybody pulling on him. Everybody speaking of hurting him. He still came to the Lord and said, Lord, what should I do? The Lord said, gird up your loins, boy. We're going forward. And did David know that his family was all right? We have the scripture. We can read here. Yeah, David got his, they weren't hurt. He didn't know that. But he still got up and he went forward and all was restored. And what about Job? Could you imagine if you were Job and your kids were taken away and your property, I mean, everything, you had sores. And if I was on my face, I'd look up and say, Lord, can't you see what I'm going through here? Don't you see how bad it is? And what did the Lord tell him to do? Gird up your loins like a man. We're going forward. And we need to be ready to gird up our loins, to quit you like men. Don't lay down and say, Lord, this is too hard. I'm done. No, gird up. Let's go forward. He has wonderful and beautiful things for us. And what about men like Hudson Taylor in China, Jonathan Goforth? They buried family over there, but they quit themselves like a man. They girded up their loins. They trusted in the Lord, and they went forward. They went forward to serve him. And then back to 1 Corinthians 15. It says, be strong. Be strong. And still, once again, when I think of be strong, I always think of muscle men. Probably carnal mind, thinking of muscle man. And when I thought of muscle man, I thought of one man. Well, more than that, but one stuck out. And I think you probably all heard of him, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm at 1 Corinthians 16, 14, at the end of 13, where it says, be strong. But I think of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And there was a time, I was just out of high school, and I got into pumping iron, and I was at the club, and I was taking the protein drinks, everything. I was eating as much as I could, 7 meals a day. I mean, just, I was going to compete with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I was going to go up and show them guys, and I worked for months and months and months, and I got a muscle right there. I could go up to the mirror and go boop, and that thing would go boop. I don't think that'd be much for competing with Arnold Schwarzenegger. But in through that, I read about him, and I read the different things that he, techniques that he had. And one of the things he did was at one of the competitions, there was a man that came in that was just buffed. I mean, pecs, triceps, biceps, thighs, everything was just in perfect order for this competition. And he looked at him and he says, if I go up against him, you know, physique against physique, I will not win. I'm going to have to beat this guy another way. And Arnold Schwarzenegger had control of his mind. And he would do different things. Like one, if you heard for Frank Zane, they would be about ready to pose, and he would go over to Frank Zane. He'd tell him a joke and just throw his mind just a little bit off, and it would throw all his posings off, and he'd lose points on his posing, so he'd sabotage him. But this one man came in. This competition was his. And so he went up very kindly and, you know, made friends with him, was talking to him. He says, you know, I've heard of this new routine. Now, he didn't, you know, think this guy would really do this, but he says, I heard of this new routine. He says, when you get up there, he says, you act like a rooster. He says, and you, woo-hoo, woo-hoo, and you flex, woo-hoo. And he says, it heightens the physique, and everybody will just like it, and this is just a way to do it. It's the newest thing. He says, he got up there and did it. He got up there and did this rooster thing. He says, everybody started laughing at him and mocking him, and guess who won that competition? Arnold Schwarzenegger. He won it so badly that that man never competed again. He never competed again. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, was he not a saboteur? Did he not go in behind and take him down? And it's not that way with us. We are in a warfare. We are, you know, in soldiers for the Lord, but we're not to go and take out our competitors in that way. We are to fight the good fight for him. And then in verse 14, let all your things be done with charity. Now, this once again, it puzzles me. I go, Paul, you're telling me to fight, be a good soldier, but you want me to do it in charity? You want me to do it in love? Why would you? It doesn't make sense. And I'm thinking, all these guys, and I thought, well, when a guy gets down to wrestle somebody, he doesn't look up and say, I love you, brother. Let's wrestle. They don't do that. They get down to play football. Oh, come right on by. Be my guest. They're not thinking the love thing. And then I thought, what does he mean? And then the Special Olympics. How many here have seen the Special Olympics? And they'll get down, they take off, and one will fall. And does that other one look back and go, ha, 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 ha? Uh-uh. Now, if it was regular competition between men, they would go, yes, this one is mine. We got the gold. And we'd be out here. But no, this one person was charitable. Went back, picked up that brother, says, come on, brother, let's win. And isn't that way with us? We see a brother fall. We see a sister fall. We might not understand why they do what they did. We might not understand, and it might have been wrong. But is it for us to come back and take that person out, to push them a little bit deeper? No. We, through the word and prayer, go back and say, brother, come on, let's go. And what about the lost? They're against us. They'd love to take you out. They would love to mess with you and destroy your life. So, no, we still need to deal with them charity. That's why we go out and we knock their doors. They get in our faces and they don't want anything to do them, but we go back. We go back. We say, I love you, brother. I love you. And give them the gospel over and over with charity. It's so important that we do it with charity. And then go on to, we'll read 15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stevanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And once again, Paul, he baffles me. Addicted themselves. When I think of addicted, I think of a bad habit. I think of alcohol. I think of tobacco. I think of cigarettes. I'm going, Paul, what are you trying to say here again? I'm thinking of bad things. Addicted yourself. And then I thought, first time I read this book, or the first time you read this book, did it just open up to you? Did it just all come to you? Was it so easy? You just stayed up for hours on end and just read it and took in what the Lord... No. You have to addict yourself to this book. You have to go back and go back. And when you don't understand it, you go back for more. And you long for it. And you learn it. And you long for it. And I remember we had one young lady when I was about 17, and she kind of ran around with us, and we went out to the fair, and somebody had some tobacco. And so we talked this young lady into trying some tobacco. She put that tobacco in there and just, boom, she lost it. And you say, what's my point about this? If that girl would have kept going back and putting that snus in and kept going back, she'd addicted herself and she'd still be on today. And you say, oh, no way. Come to Eastern Oregon. There's a lot of girls that chew that stuff. And they like it. They're addicted to it. But we need to be that way with the Word of God. And what about the first time that I preached? Oh, man, it was rough. It was rough. I basically got up and gave the Romans road, and I was done. I just stood there and stared at everybody. I'm like, man, I got more time left. But I didn't give up there. It wasn't easy. I addicted myself. I got back, and I went back, and I longed for it. And I mess up Scripture, but I didn't care. I was going to go back. I wanted to serve the Lord. I wanted to see Him high and lifted up. And one of the ways that is through the preaching of God's Word. And no matter how hard it is, no matter how often I failed, I was going to addict myself to that pulpit and just addict myself to the people. And then, what about the ministry? Now, I have a lot of people. They are always asking me, what was your call? Different questions like that. And so I had one man ask me, how do you know you're called into the ministry? And I kind of told him. And I wanted to say, how are you called? Or I did. I says, you know, have you been called? Everything? Oh, no. I have never. No, not me. I haven't been called. And I says, well, you know, how do you know? Well, I just know. And I want to say so badly, say, have you addicted yourself to the Word of God? Have you addicted yourself to prayer? Have you addicted yourself to the time with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you addicted yourself with your pastor to knock doors? Have you addicted yourself to all those things that God has given us in the church to serve Him? Have you spent time after time, day after day, seeking God's face? And I would imagine they'd say, no. And I say, brother, how can you make a reasonable decision if you are not walking with the Lord, if you're not spending time with His Word, if you're not addicted to the church? How can you make a good decision? Because when you are in the Word of God and you are doing the things of the ministry, the Spirit of God will show you. And then, at that time, you can make a spiritual decision. Lord, do you want me to be a pastor? Very clearly says, no, I don't want you to be a pastor. I want you to be a missionary. Or, no, I don't need you to be a missionary. I want you to be in that church. I want you to be faithful in that church. I want you to shake hands. I want you to knock doors and invite people. I want you just to be on fire every time those doors are open. That's where I want you, supporting missionaries, giving your tithe, helping the pastor. Just be in there. How can you make a reasonable decision, a Spirit-filled decision, if you have not addicted yourself to the ministry? Oh, people, we need to look to the Lord. We need to look to the Lord. And then, that ye submit yourselves unto such, verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth us with us and laboreth. Now, we're Americans. And that word submit just jumped out and grabbed me. We don't like that word. We don't want anything to do with that word called submit. And I was, you know, what can I say about this word submit? I mean, how are people going to accept it? They don't like hearing it. What am I going to say about it? And then we were at a church and they had people give testimony. And this new Christian, she got up and she gave a testimony. And it was so sweet. It was not refined. It was rightly rough. But she got up and she talked about she hated her husband. She hated his guts. She didn't want anything to do with him. She detested him. And through this, this girl got saved. I mean, she was with a friend that was telling her scripture, showing her how to be saved. So she got saved. She goes, I've got it now. So she started praying, Lord, change that man the way I like him. You know, and she's praying for him. And she says, nothing happens. Nothing happens. And she says, finally, after reading the Word of God and talking to different people and coming across this word, submit. And I learned to submit to my husband. And she says, that was the sweetest thing. Tears coming down her eyes. She says, that changed our relationship so much. It was the sweetest thing that ever happened. And I want to say, do we submit to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willing to give all to Him? When He tells us to do something, do we submit ourselves and go forward? Because I promise you, once you submit to Him and His Word, the relationship between you and Him will just come so much closer together. And you'll walk with Him. You'll abide with Him. And He will just work in your lives. But us as Americans that submit, we don't want it. And it's so important in the relationship with the Lord. So important. And then verse 17, I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The 19, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now for us, down in Argentina, to the Mapuche people, that is the way it's going to start. It's going to start going house to house. We'll drive out to those different homes, and it'll be house to house, talking to those people, teaching those people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we get in those homes, we'll be able to tell them what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, how that they need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, how they need to repent, that they are sinners in need of a Savior. They are lost. And there's a day when they're going to have to come before God and give an account for what they've done. And then after they get saved, after they get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, I want to see them get so excited. Have you not seen families get born again, get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, come in front and just kneel and just tears, and they're just in love with the Lord, and they just want to live for Him. They're so excited about Him. And I can't wait till that day when I just see a row of Mapuche family just falling on their face before God, saying, God, where would you have me to go? What would you have me to do? What a day that will be to see men get excited about the things of God. And when men get excited about the things of God, the first thing they do is they take it home to their family. They take it to their friends. And they study it. And they show it. And they learn it. And they want their kids to be a part of it. They want their wives to be a part of it. And they just tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. And then in verse 20, last verse. All the brethren greet ye one another with an holy kiss. Now that's another thing that's going to be a little rough, is that in my home, I raise my kids pretty strict. And we kind of have some rules. We believe that the Word of God says it's good not for a man to touch a woman. Well, we pretty much stick by it in our home. Well, when we get to Argentina, they all greet each other with a kiss. So my girls will get to greet the young men with a kiss, and my boys, the girls, with a kiss. This is going to be very hard because my oldest daughter, she hates it when I give this illustration, but at our church, there was a young man that always liked to touch the girls. He couldn't keep his hands off her. And she told him, keep your hands, don't do this, keep your hands off of me. She came and says, Dad, this boy won't leave me alone. I says, don't touch her. I went to the parents. Leave her alone. Finally, I said, hon, I says, Marisa, when he touches you, well, often just kapow him on. Well, I thought it was going to be in the arm, in the chest. No. She went right for there. Boom! Bloodied the old nose up, and he's, woo! So we have got some things that we're going to have to deal with. My boys, oh, when it comes to girls, but that's just part of the culture. That's things that we are going to have to deal with. So we're going to have to deal with those things. I remember the first time, it's not easy doing those traditions, but God gives you the grace to do them. God gives you the grace to do them. Well, that's what I have today. And I just want to go back over my points. And it's very clear that we need to watch. Are you watching? Are you looking for the problems where the devil so easily will come in and take you? Are you standing fast? Are you holding to this book or your own guns? If you hold to your own strength and your old guns, you're going to fail. You need to stand fast to this word and look to it completely. Quit ye like men. There's things that are going to happen in your life and my life we're just not going to understand. Why, Lord? Why is this happening to me? I don't understand it. We need to quit ourselves like men, like David, like Job, and gird our loins and just go forward for the Lord. We need to be strong. We need to let all our things be done with charity. When we see a brother do something we don't understand, love him. I'm not saying condone what he did. I'm not saying go up and say, oh, that's all right, you know. No, but love him. And the lost. We need to be charitable. Love the lost. And God will bless. If you'd all stand with me. Eyes closed and heads bowed. And if you just, right now, just take a few minutes and just look over your life lately. Are you standing fast? Are you holding the ground? And then are you still working on your mind? Are you preparing it through the Word of God? Are you longing to be with Him, abide with Him, spend more time with Him? And just looking to Him. And that's basically what the message was. Just looking to Him, standing fast. Do it charitably. And I just give you a few minutes just to talk to the Lord about these things. Pastor. Quiet time is such a good time to get close to the Lord. You got things in your life that just don't make sense. Just look to Him. Just stand up and go forward. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. And I just thank You so much for Your blessings. I thank You so much that You watch us so close and You take care of us and You lead us, Lord, and You work with us and You're so willing to show us from Your Word the things that we need in our life. I just ask that You'd bless these people. I ask that there might be any lost in here, any that have not trusted in Christ and you think, oh, we're all saved. I thought I was saved too. And You showed me that I was just playing the Baptist game and on my way to hell. If there's any here that just need to look to You, they would do that. Just thank You for Your many blessings, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.